Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, knowledge of the absolute, text number 26. Vedaham samatitani. Vartmanani charjana. Pavishani chabutani. Mamtu vedana kaschana. Veda, no. Aham, I. Samatitani, completely past. Vartamanani, present. Cha, and. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Bhavishani, future. Cha, also. Bhutani, of all living entities. Mam, me. Tu, but. Veda, knows. Na, not. Kaschana, anyone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. Purport. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then like the living entity, he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in the past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Unlike the ordinary living human being, Lord Krishna clearly says he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we have seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vibhishan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Krishna knows every living entity because he is situated in every living being's heart as the supersoul. But despite his presence in every living entity as supersoul and his presence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the impersonal Brahman, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the Supreme Person. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is just like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world, we can see that there is the sun, and that there are clouds and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent to our limited vision. The sun, moon, and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he is not manifest to the less intelligent class of men. As it is stated in the third verse of this chapter, out of millions and millions of men, some try to become perfect in this human form of life, and out of thousands and thousands of such perfected men, hardly one can understand what Lord Krishna is. Even if one is perfected by realization of impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma, he cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, without being in Krishna consciousness. So the text again. Vedaham samatitani vartmanani charjana pavishami chabutani mamtu vedana kaschana. Arjuna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. According to Parasara Muni, Krishna is God, not simply because he controls everything, but it says, Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashastriyaha, Yana Vairagyaschaiva, Shana Bhaga Itanganaha. In other words, according to Parasara Muni, the definition of God is the person who's has the most opulence. Now, everyone here has a certain amount of beauty, everyone has a certain amount of wealth, everyone has a certain amount of knowledge, everyone has a certain amount of fame, everyone has a certain amount of strength, and a certain amount of renunciation. But I don't think anyone here would dare claim that they have all wealth. Isn't that right? You're doubtful. That you own, we don't even own everything in Ljubljana. What to speak of Europe, or this earth planet, or this one little tiny universe, or all the universes. But Krishna says that he's the proprietor. Aham sarvasya pravo, matak sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhujante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Now, we don't know if Krishna is the proprietor or not, in one sense. Philosophically, we could figure it out, because proprietor means the controller. And it's clear that we're not independent, because we're dependent on remembrance, we're dependent on our knowledge and forgetfulness. Sometimes we want to remember something we can't, and sometimes we want to forget something we can't. So we're not completely in control of what we're remembering, what we're forgetting, and even when we're trying to understand something, we may try, and we may not understand, and then suddenly the understanding comes spontaneously, without our making any endeavor. Many famous scientists were working on some problem, and then out of nowhere the answer came. Because there is a super soul, there's a God, and God is helping us remember, God is helping us forget, and God is giving us whatever knowledge we have now, whatever conception or perceptions we have, this is being supplied to us by Krishna through his energy. Either material energy or spiritual energy, but Krishna is ultimately the controller of both. Therefore, we may not know whether Krishna is the proprietor of everything, but we can see that every living entity and every species of life, whether it's an ant or Brahma or ourselves, we're dependent on remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. We can't do anything without that knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness being supplied to us. Just like a father instructs his son, or a teacher instructs a student, so the Supreme Lord in our heart as a super soul is instructing all living entities all the time. And that way it's clear he's controlling everything. Even it says, it's Chaksha Esha Savitasa Kala Grahanam, that the sun, this huge ball of fire, which the scientists actually know nothing about, but they speculate like anything about it, even 20 years ago or more, 30 years ago, there's one article in Time magazine, and it says, we've been investigating the sun for 10 years now, and now we know more about the sun than all the other planets in the universe. Unfortunately, we've just discovered that everything we thought we knew about the sun was wrong. But don't worry, because now we have positive proof of the possible existence of black holes. So actually we don't know what the sun is. If the scientists knew what a sun was, they could manufacture their own sun. At least big enough so they could put it over the North Pole and help out the Eskimos. Or, if they can't do that, they would be impressed if they can just put make a little tiny sun and put it in this room and let it circulate the room during the winter, especially, save us so much money on heating and lighting. But the scientists can't even make a little tiny sun. So how can we assume that they know anything about the big sun? They can't make a little one. And how is it possible that a sun can come up exactly on time every morning and go down exactly at the calculated time every evening? We don't know when we're going down or when we're waking up. But the scientists, at least, they can acknowledge, they can calculate. The sun is so regulated. Matter of fact, in your astrological chart, when you look at the sun, you can see how steady you are. If your sun is afflicted, you're up and down like a yo-yo. And if your sun is strong, then generally you're quite regulated in your activities. So, regulate, because the sun in the universe is the most regulated. The moon is not so regulated. It's going through all these phases and changing all the time. Moon represents the emotional side of life, and sun represents the regulated physical type of our activities. The stronger the sun is, the more regulated our activities are. And the weaker the moon is, the more our emotional life is quite variegated, we could say. Agony and the ecstasy, they wrote a book about that. So these things are all being controlled and arranged by a supreme person. Otherwise, who could duplicate such a thing as the sun in such a exacting orbit? Even the watches we make are simply trying to measure the movements of the sun. And everyone can understand that it's not by accident that a watch came into existence. Nor will a watch last as long as the sun will last. Nor is it as accurate as the sun. The most accurate clock will lose time after some time. But the sun will be exactly in its orbit. So therefore, Lord Brahma says, he praises Govinda because it's Govinda who's put the sun in its orbit. It's Govinda who supplied a sun with unlimited heat and light since time immemorial. Now, with a little intelligence, a little bit of investigation, we can accept Krishna is all-powerful. Now, how do we know it's Krishna? Well, one thing is we can't see, unless we have the eyes to see the beauty of Krishna as the deity, or Yachakshesa, or Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochinena. When one develops the prema, or the eyes of love, then one can see the most beautiful form of Krishna within the heart. Or one has such eyes, you can also see the beautiful Krishna as the beautiful form of the deity. But if we don't have those eyes, we don't know if Krishna is the most beautiful. All we can do is read the appreciation of the residents of Vrindavan, that in Vrindavan it says at the end of the 35th chapter of the Krishna book, that in Vrindavan, even the inanimate objects in Vrindavan, like the lakes, the trees, the deer and the cows, they're all attracted by Krishna, which is described as the perfect description of Krishna's all attractiveness. So we don't know because we can't see, what to speak of his renunciation, although we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving up his nice wife and his mother, chasing after the conditioned souls, but still we have no direct experience. And as far as fame, we've heard of Krishna, but if you go to the average person in Slovenia and say, who's the most famous? They did a survey around 10 years ago asking people in the world, who's the most famous person? And guess who it was? What's that? Maybe now he's the most infamous. 10 years ago. It was Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. Krishna didn't even come in. We don't know if he's the most famous or not. At least here in this temple in Ljubljana, he's the most famous. We chant his name more than anyone else's name, including our own name. Hopefully. But we do have his Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's words. And we want to find out if Krishna is the most intelligent, then we can read his words and see whether they're perfect or not. After all, most of us, we've been in school or university, and no learned professor at the university ever declared that our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. So even the first instruction in Bhagavad Gita surpasses all the academic knowledge and education that we receive from all these other so-called learned persons. And what to speak of the detailed knowledge that Krishna gives, that he's the fire of digestion. Because after all, how is our food being digested? Does anyone know a chemical formulation to digest food? You eat 5 samosas and you're thinking, what's the formulation? Quick! I need some help.
Today is easier because the carbs.
Yes. I'm talking about yesterday when we ate 5 samosas. We're still praying. No, the formulation is already there. Krishna has made an arrangement so that he's a fire of digestion. And if we eat properly, then food is digested. It's assimilated, and the unnecessary parts are eliminated. Now, who can create such a machine like this body? Or a machine like, who can create a machine, one end you put grass, the other one end you get milk? Can you create such a machine? Can any scientist create a machine where you put grass in one end and the other end you get milk? But Krishna created such a machine. It's called the cow, yes. Unfortunately, they don't give the cow the Nobel Prize for chemistry. Instead, they eat the cow. But actually, the most amazing machine is the cow. Most beneficial. And Krishna says that he is the Vaishnavaro Budva. Praninam deha ashritya prana pana samayukta pachamnayanam chaturvidam. I become the fire of digestion and I digest the 5 kinds of foodstuffs. So throughout Bhagavad Gita, Savasi Jaham Dridi Sanavishto, he's the one who's supplying us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if we study the Bhagavad Gita without bias, with an open mind, then we can understand that Krishna's knowledge is perfect. It's explaining exactly what's going on. Now, another side, Krishna claims he knows past, present, and future, but I also know past, present, and future. Silence. Yes, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen 1 million years from now. Or even 10 years from now, or even 15 minutes years. And I could tell you everything that happened in the past, and everything that's happening right now. Do you want to hear it? That's what happens when you study astrology for 50 years. No, actually, Prabhupada said actually the same thing is happening. 5 million years ago, people are eating, they were sleeping, they were mating and defending. And I can tell you exactly what's happening right now, everywhere in the universe. People are eating, they're sleeping, they're mating and defending. And I know exactly what's going to happen 5 billion years from now. People are going to eat, they're going to sleep, they're going to mate and defend. If you don't believe me, come back and see. So in one sense, past, present, and future is not impossible to know. But Krishna knows it in a much more deeper way than we can conceive of. You go to the ocean and think that every single drop of water, Krishna knows where it came from, where it's been, and where it's going to be. That energy. Forever. I can see everyone's brains. The smoke is coming out. Now all we can do is either accept it or reject it. Or ignore it. Generally the conditioned soul is expert at ignoring these things. Yes, Krishna is God. Good luck. Congratulations, Krishna. Good luck to you. And then we go on with our lives. Our so-called lives. Or we say, well, that's impossible. That's too much, you know. How can anyone remember? I mean, if I had to remember 100 things, my mind goes crazy. How can Krishna remember everything, past, present, future? And if he could, that's unfair. He's too good. Why should he be so powerful and good? But that's the reality. We're so tiny. Prabhupada once said that in the material world, there's always a competition. Everyone's trying to become in some way better than another. If you can't make it being the most intelligent, most beautiful, the strongest, the wealthiest, then you have a butterfly collection and you claim you have one better butterfly than everyone else has. And you feel proud. I may be stupid, I may be ugly, I may be always angry, but I have the best butterfly collection in the world. So I'm a good person. But compared to Krishna, however good we may be, however strong or wealthy or famous we may be, but compared to Krishna, we're all completely insignificant. So when we come to the platform, actually becoming conscious of Krishna, that's when real humility develops, not artificially, but out of just realization of how wonderful and great Krishna is, and how wonderful and great Krishna's devotees are. So that's, humility doesn't come artificially, it comes along with the loving development of our faith and the development of our love, so humility naturally follows also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Because without humility, there's no question of realizing Krishna. You can't be puffed up and realize God. Oh God, you know, so what? So you know everything, past, present, future. Big deal. I got a few tricks too. I can juggle 5 balls in my hand. Can you do that? So humility. One has to be humble to understand Krishna. And at the same time, in order to develop that, one has to develop service to Krishna or love. So they go hand in hand. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Everyone is struck with wonder. Okay, thank you very much. Gurindraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.